come. Lord, you've been so wonderful to us. And Lord, how you've blessed us abundantly. You've given us more than we can even count and write down. We would start writing your blessings. We would miss one. If we would put them in alphabetical order, we would mess our lines up. Lord, we'd have to keep going back over and over and over, adding in. You've been so good. And Lord, we appreciate you tonight. Lord, we love our church. We love our people. And God, I pray for those who can't be here. Lord, I do pray for Brenda and Frank. And Lord, as she has her surgery in the morning, Lord, I pray that you might guide the doctors and the nurses and touch her, encourage her. Lord, they've been down physically, and that gets them down mentally and spiritually. Lord, lift them up tonight, would you? And hug them up right close as you take care of them. Thank you for that tonight. And Lord, for all the others, I think of thank you for Daryl and a good report. And thank you that Abby's doing as well as she is. And Lord, it's still a wonderful answer to prayer. God, I pray that you will strengthen the whole family. And Lord, that we might remember that you're in charge, as R.C. prayed a while ago. God, I pray now that you might help us to look simply at your word. Let us tonight look at ourselves as we give just a few thoughts as you give me. Lord, help me to give our people. May you get all glory. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. I've thought many times about the purpose of this church and what God has raised us up to do. And we are not to compare ourselves to any other church. This is Mountain State Baptist Church. It's not in us, or should not be in us, to compare ourselves to anybody. Not one, even one to another. I shouldn't compare myself to you. You shouldn't compare yourself to me. Christ is our example. And that's who we need to look for and who we need to look to. But there's some things I want us to think about tonight as we, the responsibility of a church. Everybody in here is important. Everybody in here has a part. And now I know that many are gone. Some are gone this week. Going into Labor Day, and I know there's people traveling. I understand that. So we know we're not preaching to our regular crowd. But tonight, for those of us who are here, those who will go back and watch live stream, I want us to listen. The young people, I want you young people to listen, you teenagers. I'm praying that we have a spiritual awakening in our teenagers, that we have a zeal in our teenagers, that they don't act like us, that they act like Christ. And I'm praying that us that are old, that we get a Caleb syndrome. That we say, Lord, I'm as strong now as I was 40 years ago. Give me this mountain. And that we be like Caleb and Joshua, because of what they saw and what they seen, the promises of God. We've seen that tonight, and it's not a time to retire. I believe you'll find there's no discharge in this war, and there's no retirement. We may not be able to go as far or move as fast, but we ain't supposed to quit. All right? And so we need to be busy. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start at verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now we understand that verse 10 is talking about Christ coming again. Can I tell you tonight that Christ is coming again? It's more true tonight than it was yesterday. It's closer tonight than it was yesterday. We've already a day closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. But then it says in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Now, understanding that the Lord's coming and the heavens shall pass away and a great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all that's going to happen and all that's going to be dissolved, then it says here something very interesting. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now again, it says in verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It keeps reminding us that he's coming. He keeps reminding us. Now, he told us he's coming, then told us there's a something, there's a way we ought to be, and then he told us he's coming again. Now, so there's some significance here. Because he's coming, we ought to be living a certain way. Because he's coming. All right? I believe Brother Rick gave us something in Sunday school this morning. There in 1 John, 3:3. I believe that we are supposed to be living a certain way in light of his coming. That when we shall see him as he is, face to face, that we shall be like him. And then it says, therefore, purge your hearts. Or we ought to be living a certain way. Is everybody following me? This, but let's look here at verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, again, he's telling us he's coming. We've got it made. We're looking for a new heaven, for new heavens and a new earth. We're going to a land that's fairer than day. We know that. But there's still a rub being laid out here. This is where the rub comes in. He wants us to live a certain way until he comes. Because it says here, wherefore, because all this, because he's coming, because Jesus is coming again, because it's close, it's just right, and we're right at the door. Huh? And he's going to slip in, and he's coming again. And because of everything going to be dissolved and the tragedies and the people that's going to perish, because all that, he said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, he said, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, that's pretty tight living there. Verse 15, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord to salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Now see, we're not in false doctrine tonight. We're not listening to false teachers. We're not being deceived. Seeing that we know that he's coming and that the elements are going to melt and things are going to be drastically changed. Seeing we know these things, he says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Don't listen to others. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the false doctrines of the world. Because he don't want us to fall from our steadfast. We need to be steadfast. We got to hang in there. We need to stick in there. Does everybody understand that? But look at verse 18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I believe there's a way that we ought to be living as a church, as a believer, because we're in the last days. You understand that this scripture is even more true and expecting more of us than it ever has. Do you understand that? That when Peter wrote this, they was expecting the Lord to return. But instead of now being a couple thousand years here, and he's expecting, the Lord is expecting far more from us than even them. You understand that? Everybody understand what I'm telling you tonight? So I'm going to give you a title tonight, and then we're going to give you a few things, and then we'll have our business meeting, all right? But I'm going to give you a title. I want you to listen. Everybody look this way tonight. Here's our title. So we're going to look about how we ought to be living, how we ought to be conducting ourselves. All right? And I want you to ask yourself this question. Everybody ready? Everybody look at me now. Wake up. Everybody look. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? All right? Now let's say that again. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? So what kind of church would Mountain State Baptist Church be? What would it be if it was just like you? Huh? What would it be? You know, when you study, you always read things. You look around, and a fellow preached a message one time and said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And he compared our wives as the church. Wonder what kind of church we would have if our wife was the church. What would we have? Would we have I'd have a Pentecostal church. If my wife was the church, I'd have a Pentecostal church. Huh? I would. That's what she is. She don't know it, but that's what she is. She Babicostal. Huh? All right. Yeah. How charismatic would y'all be, Becky and Trista? If y'all was the church. Huh? Huh? How charismatic would how charismatic would you be, Miss Hope? Huh? You know, just these thoughts that come through your mind, you know. You know, that there would be some Calvinists. We'd have some Calvinist church here. Some of you ladies are tough. Some of you ladies said, I don't know if they're saved or not. Huh? You got your own elect. Huh? You're just thoughts. I'm just wanting us to be open-minded just a minute. Just see what kind of church would this church be if they were like you. Yeah. If the church was like us men, what kind of church would it be? Would it be sorry? Lazy? Huh? Would it be overworked? Would it be a sleepy church? Huh? Would it be a head in the sand church? Huh? I don't need no comments from the wives, Cheryl. I'm just asking, what kind of church would it be? You know what you are tonight. If everybody in the church was just exactly like you, they thought like you, they served like you, they worshiped like you, everything that you do is what everybody does, what kind of church would we have tonight? Huh? Now, when we think about that, because of verse 12, looking for the hastening of the coming of the Lord, and because of verse 10, he says you ought to see what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. So I just wanted to ask you tonight. I mean, would you want a church that everybody was like me? Would I want a church just like you? Huh? What about we think about some things tonight? What if everybody prayed like you pray? The same pattern, as often, as much about things, same mannerism. If everybody prayed like you pray, would we have a powerful church? Will we have a prayer powerful church? Now you think about that. You know you. Don't look about nobody else. I'm asking about you tonight. If all of us We're going to come to you, and you're going to tell us how you are. You're going to snap your fingers, and we're going to be just like you. Now, we're going to look like us, but we're going to act like you. It's a thought, ain't it? It's a thought. What about, what if everybody brought people to church like you did? What if everybody brought people to church like you did? I talked to a man yesterday on the phone. Talked to that bus mechanic here, Greg. Got some information for you, maybe. Jack Keogh. I don't know how many here. Anybody here know Jack Keogh? All right. Jack Keogh got saved several years ago, and I was his pastor for a long time. Jack used to come to my house on Wednesdays. He'd supper with me on Wednesday evening so he could go to church on Wednesday night. And Jack brought more people to church as one individual than anybody I've ever met. Every week, Jack was bringing somebody to church, lost. He'd bring him to church, he'd enter, he said, "Preacher." And he wasn't bashful, he said, "Preacher," said, "they need the Lord, and I brought him here today, and I want you to tell, you talk to them, you put it on them." And they never sat in the back. He always come up and sit in front, first or second seat. And he'd bring them, and he'd sit there and pray for them. Now, Jack was different. Some days he was in, some days he was out. But when he was in, he would bring somebody with him. And I don't know, 25, 35 people that I know come to the Lord. I don't know where he got them. He would find them all over. And they would come. There's been times he's had benches full. And I'd preach, and he'd have been talking to them and begging them, and they'd come to the Lord. And many of them are in church today, serving in churches today, all over. Yeah. But then I know other people, and I'm not being critical of anybody here. This is just a general question. I know other people that's never brought anybody to church. They've never, ever brought anybody to church for no reason. Some can't. Some don't even have enough influence. If he died, they wouldn't come. If he died, he wouldn't come to the funeral. You know, I just want you to think about it. I'm trying to get us to think the importance and responsibility each individual had. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? All right? So if we prayed like I pray, or if we brought people to church like I bring people to church, huh? Or if we witnessed, if everybody witnessed like I witnessed, ask yourself, if everybody talked to someone about their soul like you did, would the county get the gospel? Or would anybody hear the gospel? I mean, these are just thoughts. Because the church is never going to be more than what we are that make it up. You understand that? It's never going to be no more spiritual than we are spiritual. It's never going to have no more power in it than what we do with God, ourselves. We're never going to have more of a witness than what we do ourselves. All right? We're not run by some outside entity of people. We have the Holy Ghost and how the Holy Ghost works and serves in us. But how do we mind the Lord? Huh? What if everybody gave like you gave? If everybody gave financially like you do. Right? I mean, we know everybody's got enough sense to know everybody don't tithe. Okay? Everybody don't. You know? The reason I know that is we lost 25 people and the collections didn't go down. Okay? So if everybody give like you give, would the church be doing okay financially? Yeah? Think about that. I mean, because we're all supposed to tithe. I always believed that 10% was the baseline. Are you everybody okay? I'm just asking questions. See, because the title is just simple. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? What if we all attended like I do? Ask yourself, if everybody attended like I do, huh? If everybody sang out like I do, if everybody said amen like I do, what kind of church would we have? If everybody fellowshipped one with another, what kind of church would we have? If everybody checked on sick people and people that's missed like you do, what kind of church would we have? What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? I think that's a good question. I think it's a real good question that would make us see my responsibility. So what would it be tonight? If everybody had your zeal, if everybody had your excitement, yeah, who would you rather have as a personality? Winnie the Pooh or Eeyore? Or Tigger? Huh? Winnie the Pooh was the modern. You know, here's some honey, I fall off a tree and get my head stuck and like you ain't got enough sense to be outside. Yeah. Eeyore says, hey, Pooh. I'm excited. Huh? You want that kind of zeal? I think I'd rather have Tigger. Just bouncing around everywhere, bouncing off the walls, off the ceiling. Huh? Don't know what's going on, but he's happy about it. Huh? Right? But what would you rather have? Well, what are you? We're all going to be like you. We're all coming to you tonight. And you're going to push a button and we're going to be cloned to be exactly like you. We're going to think like you, talk like you, act like you. We're going to go where you go, act like you act, say what you say. We're going to do everything you do. We're going to have the same attitude about everybody that you have. We're going to give like you do, pray like you do, study like you do. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Huh? Let's go on. I can see you're ready for me to move on. There's some things that people are. Now, I'm not saying anybody in here is like that. I just wrote down some things. I just looked up some words and trying to figure out personalities all over the world. I've been in a lot of churches all over the country. And, you know, there's toxic people. You don't have to live in Mendon to be toxic. If any of y'all know where Mendon's at, in fact, that's where they had all that PVC radiation oil and stuff that everybody, all the babies was born green and all that. Really not, but I mean, that's a Fayette County thing. If you're not from Fayette County, you may not know about it. Toxic people, you know what they are? They're angry ranters. Huh? You know there's people in the church that's angry. They're angry. They're angry if the sun shines. They're angry if it don't. They're angry if it rains. I mean, they're not just unsatisfied. They're angry about it. And they rant. You know anybody that's an angry ranter? Huh? You know, just rant, complain, and growl, and just mad at the world. That sun shines in my eyes. I hate it when it shines in my eyes. Well, it helps the garden grow. Yeah, but the weeds will take over anyway. Nah. How about cynical? We got any cynical people? You say, what in the world's a cynical person? You know, they just disapprove of everybody and everything. You know, everybody's wrong. Everybody's going to hell. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's worldly. It's everybody cynical. Huh? You know anybody cynical? Now, everybody's wrong but you. But, that's the individual that's cynical. They're the right ones. Everybody else is wrong. Yeah. How about fake? You know, fake means not real. You know, is there anybody in the church fake that we're really not what we're supposed to be, but we act like we are? Huh? Yeah, I thought about when you go down through and you think about things in the church, people in the church. You know, I've preached in, 19 counties and several states and foreign country, and preached all over the place. And you find toxic people, cynical people, fake people. You always find a gossip. You know how you tell a gossip? Because they talk about people instead of talking to people. That's how you tell a gossip. When they talk about people instead of talking to the people. Okay. How about unfriendly people? Unfriendly people. You know, the worst thing for a church to have would be a testimony of being toxic or cynical or fake or gossip. But you know, I think one of the saddest things would be if a church had a testimony of being unfriendly. What kind of church would this church be if everybody was friendly, just like me? You say, well, I'm not unfriendly. Well, let me ask you this. If you've been here 3 or 4 years, do you know everybody in the church? Do you have any trouble going to somebody and calling my name? I got a card the other day in the mail. I don't usually get cards. Don't usually get letters. At the good stuff, anyway. And I've had my share of letters, but... I got a card, and you know what I was thanked for? That I know their name. I never had got a card that they said, we're thankful that we have a preacher that knows our name. And I said, who is this? No, I didn't say. But you know, we would be more friendly if we knew one another. You know, it's not normal to talk to strangers. Everybody don't talk to strangers. I speak to everybody because in case I know them and forgot them. So I speak to everybody. You know, old, young, little kids. How you? How you? Hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Well, and then some people, they walk away saying, do I know them? I know that's what they do. It's fun to do that. You ought to try it sometime. Random just start talking to them, say, hey, how's everything going? And they walk away and said, who is that? And they've thought about it all day long. Is that okay? I'm asking you tonight. We say we're friendly, but we don't know people. But people that I know, I'm friendly with. So, what kind of church would this church be if everybody was fake, just like me? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was cynical, just like me? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was toxic, just like me? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was a gossip, just like me? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was unfriendly, just like me? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was tardy, just like me? Consistently late. Now, I'm not being critical at all. I'm just going to explain to you. that if you're consistently 10 minutes late, you need to leave 10 minutes sooner to get here. Do y'all understand that? I mean, I'm not being a smarty. Like, I just wanted to let you know that if you're consistently late, you've got to leave earlier because you're not making it. You know? So what kind of church would we have? What kind of church would this church be if everybody left early and disrupted the service just like me? If right time we sung "Just As I Am," everybody run to the car or the bathroom. You know why sometimes people don't get saved in a church? They can't hear the invitation for the coats being put on and the books being put up and the pocketbooks being zipped up and the kids being jerked around, getting in line to go out of the church, and people run to the bathroom. They would come forward, everybody's leaving, they think it's over, and they don't come and get saved. Because they think it's over. Of course, I'm not being smart, like I'm just telling you, what kind of church would this church be if everybody left early, just like me? Huh? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was unfaithful, just like me? The first thing I would answer or ask myself if I was unfaithful is, why am I unfaithful? There's some people, and I understand being unfaithful. We count it unfaithful. Can I tell you that it would be better to go to one good service a week than to go to three bad ones? That makes sense? If you drive 60 miles, I can understand if you miss every now and then. If you drive 60 miles one way. A lot of y'all drive 45, 48 miles one way. Huh? If you don't make it, I understand. Huh? But if you don't even have to drive, I could probably say, All right. Some people are sick and they can't make it. Some people are crippled and they can't make it. Some people can't see at night and we're getting winter time. I'm just asking tonight, and we're just going to look at a couple quick things here. I'm just wanting you to think. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like? What if we was worldly and carnal? What kind of church would we have if everybody was worldly and carnal like I am? If the world meant more to everybody than the Lord does, what kind of church would we have? This question tonight. I want you to think about them things. That's just some thoughts tonight. It goes with the title. But let's look here in verse 14, and we'll get right along. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent." You know, I believe Peter is telling us from the Lord here that we ought to be diligent. Diligent means steady. You need to be steady, constant, with constant effort. Huh? We need to be steady. Now, I know what it's like to be unsteady. But you know, I'm doing good. I told y'all. Y'all been praying. I know y'all been praying for me. Now, I didn't ask you to in a lot of ways, but I appreciate you praying for me. God is raising me up again. You know, for a long time, I was unsteady. I ain't failed since week before youth camp. Yeah. It was normal for me to just fall out, just fall over. You know, comical. Cheryl thought I was resting and I was getting up. That's what I was doing. I got in behind the corner in the garden, fell like never got up. Nobody knew where I was. Like never got up. Didn't have no tomato steak to get a hold of. Didn't have no, I just laid there. Just like, You know, if I fall on my belly, I'll go to sleep before I get up anyway. I'll lock myself asleep. Like a turtle, you know. I know what it's like to be unsteady. I get up, Cheryl says, you all right? I said, no, I ain't all right. Huh? A walker, a cane, a walking stick, trying to keep going, huh? You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the world. We need to be steady, dependable, strong, huh, in our efforts. And that's what we all need to be. We all need to be it together. We okay with that? It says, wherefore, we're in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Now, I'm not being critical of no one. So nobody take it. If you take this personal, you're wrong, because that's not the way it's meant. But nevertheless, it's for us. All right? If there's anybody that ought to be in peace, it's the believer. If there's anybody that has peace, regardless of the circumstance, because he is our peace. He is our peace, and we got to learn to trust the Lord. Huh? So that's how we ought to be living. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We ought to be diligent, steadfast, constant, if you would, in peace one with another. Not only in peace where there's no turmoil in our own life, but there's no turmoil in us. In peace. Huh? We okay? Now look at the next one. Verse 14. That next one's tight, ain't it? Without spot. Without spot. I don't know about y'all, but that's tight. But look at the next one. And blameless. Without spot and blameless. Well, that's giving y'all the same qualifications that had given me as a pastor to be blameless. Huh? That means we're all in this together, don't we? Without spot. You know, we're talking about our sanctification here, are we not? Without spot and blameless? Huh? We still okay? What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? And then verse 15 says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him that is written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now that's not rest in sleeping, but that's rest in wallowing. All right? Fighting. No peace. Unstable rest. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. There it is again. Now verse 18, we'll quit. But it says, but grow in grace. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you growing in grace and knowledge? Are you personally growing in grace and knowledge here in this church? Are you? If not, why not? If not, why not? You're supposed to be growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not being a smart aleck or being sarcastic or anything, but I'm going to tell you, if you're not growing, it's because you're not in your Bible. If you're not growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, it's because you're not in your Bible. Now, if you don't read it at home, then we offer Sunday school. But it's amazing when there's a 60-person difference in Sunday school and preaching. When we have 210 for Sunday school and 290 for preaching, I don't know if everybody's growing or not. Because in Sunday school, we're going verse by verse through the epistles and telling us how to live. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was growing just like me? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was growing in grace and knowledge just like me? I've been a pastor now. Man, it's been a long time. 1985, what are we looking at? Long, long time. Somewhere through there, 1987 as a pastor, 1985 in the ministry, 1987 as pastor. Been a long time in the ministry. I've never had as much fun as I am on Thursday nights in Bible class at that college course, learning. I learned a bunch this past Thursday. I don't have 10,000 sermons in my head now. Things I didn't know. And I walked away the last 2 weeks saying, boy, thank you, Lord, I'm growing in grace and knowledge. Rick Childers has taught me a lot in Sunday school. He taught me a lot. He showed me different scripture, showed me many things in the scripture. One of the greatest lessons that I thought he ever taught, he taught on the right hand. I've enjoyed that. I still go back and enjoy that when we got on that right arm there for a while. We went through all the scripture on the right arm. Man, that wore me out. I had a ball. First time I heard him teach Hebrews, and I didn't even want to leave. I just wanted him to teach till we was done. I didn't want to go home and eat, sleep, or nothing. I just wanted to hear Hebrews taught like he taught the first time I ever heard it taught, like he taught. But are you growing tonight? I'm going to quit there. We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Growing grace and knowledge. Are you growing? What kind of church would this church be if everybody was growing just like me? You tell me. Will we have to build on? If everybody was just like you, will we be overflowing? Will we be at the new property? Will we be so full that the president of the United Bank would come and say, can we borrow some money? Huh? If everybody was just like us. Huh? If everybody prayed. Huh? If everybody prayed, T.D. Jakes and Joe Osteen and Kenneth Copeland, they'd be sending us their prayer boxes. Huh? Maybe not, though, if they pray like me. Maybe if everybody prayed like I pray, they wouldn't even send a request in. I'm just asking tonight. See, I don't know how you are. I'm not preaching like that. I'm asking you to tell me because I'm going to be like you. I want to be just like you. Can I be like you? Am I going to be all right if I'm like you? Huh? How much influence am I going to have if I'm just like you? Huh? Father, the simple thoughts sometimes searches out the best. God, I ask tonight that you might, as you speak to us, Lord, Lord, I understand fully that I can do nothing without you. And Lord, I pray for our church tonight that we might be strengthened by you, led of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, instructed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that this word might dwell in our hearts by faith, that we might search it out, live it as we read it, to bring you glory. Help us as a church, I pray tonight. In Jesus' name, I ask all this and amen.